Chapter 5. Teo's feet moved under him, but he had no idea where he was going. Camera flashes exploded in his vision as people passed in a blur, murmuring and stepping out of the way, while someone guided him through the observatory and down the main steps. There was a groan of wooden doors opening and then closing again behind him. All other sounds were muffled, except for the thunderous pounding of his pulse. Teo? His mom's face materialized before him. Her hands were on his shoulders. She'd never squeezed him so hard. Teo, Quetzal repeated, voice tight. Deep creases puckered the smooth skin between her delicate brows. Teo didn't want to see it. Just past her shoulder stood an astronomical clock. The main dial represented the position of the sun, moon, and planets, nearly in alignment now, in the sky. A calendar dial with medallions representing the months was encircled by another that displayed the god's glyphs. A deep, hollow ticking sounded from deep within. You need to take a breath, pajarito. Tick, tock, tick, tock. The crushing weight of reality dropped onto him. Wait, no! He jerked back from his mom, suddenly, acutely aware of his heart hammering in his chest. I'm not... This is impossible! I can't compete in the trials, he said, a strangled laugh catching in his throat. This couldn't be real. It was a fever dream, or maybe some kind of sick joke. Searing heat clawed up Teo's throat. His lungs fought against his binder, but it tightened around his ribs like a giant fist. Focus on your breathing, Teo, Quetzal said, her voice infuriatingly calm as she slowly moved a step closer. Teo shook his head fiercely. I can't! There's no way! The circlet of feathers slipped down his forehead. The sunburst crown tilted to the side. He ripped the crown off his head and hurled it across the room. Metal clattered over stone as it skittered across the floor before hitting the base of the clock. In a blink, it disappeared. The heavy weight dropped back onto his head. Teo yanked it off again and held it out in front of him. The gold glinted dully. The cold, pointy rays dug into his clutching fingers. Teo's head swam, the room gently swaying around him. I don't want this, he insisted, looking to his mom for help. She only stared at him, delicate hands pressed over her mouth as her black eyes glistened. Behind them, the doors groaned open. Luna walked in. Instead of being outraged or confused, she only watched Teo, still and silent. How could she be so calm when the world was ending? This is some kind of mistake, Teo said to the goddess, desperate for some sort of reaction. I'm just a jade. Another wild laugh shook through him. I can't compete in the Sunbearer trials. Sol chose you, Luna said, voice steady. Her dark eyes shone with tiny pinpricks of silver, like stars. You must compete in the trials. How am I supposed to compete with the golds? I'm not a hero. They've been training their whole lives for this, and I'm not even allowed to go to the same school, Teo shouted, clutching the sunburst crown in trembling hands. I don't want to be the Sunbearer. Not when someone had to die. Luna's expression remained placid, but Quetzal flinched. Teo spun to face his mom. Mom, tell her! Teo's mother pressed her lips between her teeth for a moment. Teo could see her throat dip in a swallow before she spoke slowly and carefully. I know you're scared, Teo. He waited for her to tell him that it was going to be okay, that this was all a huge mistake, that they could go home right now, that he was going to be all right. But as he stood there, waiting, no reassurances came. She could only stare at him, at a complete loss for words. A shiver dragged down Teo's spine. Why wouldn't she tell him it'd be okay? In the heavy silence, the clock continued to tick. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Mom? It was little more than a croak before the doors banged open again. A high-pitched ringing made all three flinch and clamp their hands over their ears. Luna, mala suerte bellowed. The Dios radiated dark energy, trembling around his edges like smoke. Teo stumbled back into his mom, but Luna straightened, wincing but not budging, as the Dios charged toward her.
You tell Sol they cannot have Shio for their games!
Mala Suerte's voice rumbled through every bone in Teo's body, a terrible, thundering sound. Mala Suerte towered over Luna, but she didn't back down.
Sol has chosen Shio to compete in the trials, Luna said, her voice steady and unwavering.
An ugly snarl curled Mala Suerte's mouth, pulling back to reveal sharp, growing teeth.
Sol is wrong.
Suerte,
Quetzal warned. The ear-splitting ringing grew louder with the god's rage. Teo bit his tongue and resisted the urge to scratch the itching palm of his left hand. It was then that Teo noticed Shio. He stood behind his father, so small in comparison. He covered his ears with his hands, squinting up at his dad. The sunburst crown still sat crooked on his mop of curls.
Sol is not wrong, Luna said, lifting her chin. And they do not make mistakes. Shio was chosen for a reason.
The whites of Mala Suerte's eyes turned blood red as his form shook violently. A third eye peeled open on his forehead, its pupil a startling blue as the god grew larger until he was hunched over Luna. The room trembled, and for a moment, Teo feared Mala Suerte's shoulders would burst through the ceiling.
I would tear this city to the ground before I'd let you take him from me.
Mala Suerte's skin glowed scarlet, washing the room in red. With a sudden jerk, Quetzal grabbed Teo. Her wings enveloped him, blocking Teo and covering his eyes from seeing the enraged god. Teo tried to not let his legs give out from under him. He'd heard stories of how if a Dios lost their temper, the sheer force of their wrath could melt anyone less than a god who was standing too close.
Stop this before you do something you regret, Luna said sternly.
Shio is my son,
Mala Suerte roared. Teo squeezed his eyes shut as the ringing cut through his head. His mom tightened her arms around him. The itching was unbearable, like ants burrowing under his skin.
Dad, stop!
The quiet voice somehow cut through all the noise. The ringing in Teo's ears slowly ebbed. Hesitantly, his mom loosened her grip.
We both know there's nothing you can do.
Carefully, Teo peeked out from behind his mother's wing. Mala Suerte, still giant and terrifying, looked down at his son.
I just want to get it over with,
the young boy said, chin lowered and cheeks red. Don't make this harder than it needs to be. Because Mala Suerte's back was to him, Teo couldn't see his face.
Please?
Shio asked. The ringing in Teo's ears and the itching of his palm faded away. With a long, low sigh, the god of bad luck shrank until he was back to his usual size. Mala Suerte's shoulders bowed over his chest, arms falling to his sides. Shio stepped closer, and Mala Suerte placed his large hand on the back of his son's head, behind the sunburst crown.
Wait here, Quetzal told Teo.
He watched as his mom and Diosa Luna spoke in hushed tones to Shio and Mala Suerte. Compared to Shio, Teo's situation didn't seem nearly as dire. Shio had only just turned 13 a couple months ago. He hadn't even hit a growth spurt yet and still had round baby cheeks.
Shio was only a jade and the son of mala suerte at that. What awful luck. Would Sol really select both of them only to be decimated in the competition? Teo averted his gaze, a lump forming in his throat. He looked around the room, taking in their surroundings. They were below the observatory. Across from the clock was a desk that, judging by the star charts and astronomical instruments, must belong to Luna. A map of Reino del Sol had been engraved into the surface, the different cities noted by small figurines of each god's glyph carved from pieces of gold and jade. Around the room, murals with faceless figures and brightly colored scenes were painted on the walls. Teo realized they told the story of Reino del Sol. There was the creation of the world and the breaking of the seven-pointed star. Dark celestial figures fighting the gold and jade dioses illustrated the war with the obsidians. The final mural showed the people of Reino del Sol living happily under the golden sunburst. But it was the scene just before it that Teo approached for a closer look. The gods stood in a circle, holding the sunstones in their outstretched hands. Teo spotted his mom with her blue and green wings right away. In the center, Tierra was on his knees, surrounded with swirls of red and orange fire. Sol lay dying in his arms. Their body was painted in metallic gold, a dagger in their chest and crimson rivulets of blood spilling around them. On the wall, the clock ticked away. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Luna led Teo and Shio inside Sol Temple, leaving their parents behind. His mom had told him that the gods weren't allowed to visit their children during the trials to avoid cheating, but that she would be there to watch every event. When the rankings were displayed at the end of each trial, they could steal a moment together, and then there would be a final banquet with their families the night before the last trial. As he followed Luna through the opulent halls, Teo's mind spun, trying to think his way out of this mess. If he snuck out of the temple, he'd have to steal a boat. If he made it that far, he'd have to pass through the waterfalls, which were operated by Sol priests. And even if he somehow got through them, what would he do? He couldn't go home to Quetzalan, so at best he'd be on the run for the rest of his life. And at worst, well, he wasn't sure what the punishment was for deserting the trials. But given what happened during the closing ceremony, it was probably nothing good. The only thing he could do was not get himself killed. If he could stay high enough in the rankings to not come in last, he could survive this. Teo stole a glance over at Shio. The younger boy followed the moon goddess silently, eyes downcast. His expression was blank, like he'd already resigned himself to his fate. Teo hated it. There was the distant sound of chatter before they rounded a corner and found the golds. They were in a group, talking among themselves, except for Nia, who was off to the side pacing back and forth. As they approached, the talking stopped and everyone turned. Atsi was braiding Shochi's hair on an emerald green velvet couch while Marino and Desi leaned against the arms. Ocelo smirked, looking Teo up and down while Aristella shook her head, an amused quirk to her lips as she whispered to Ocelo. And there was Aurelio. He frowned at Teo, staring at him almost calculatingly as the coals smoldered around his neck. Teo's face burned with heat.
Dude!
Nia shoved him and he stumbled.
The fuck?
I have no idea, he replied, trying to keep his voice down.
This is wild!
I know. Nia yanked him into a hug, lifting him off his feet.
We're gonna have so much fun together!
A surprised laugh jumped in Teo's throat. Leave it to Nia to see the silver lining of his probable death sentence.
You always talk about how you wish you could see the other cities,
she said, setting him back down. Yeah, but not like this, Teo hissed under his breath. I was supposed to be in the stands,
watching the Sunbearer trials, not competing in them. But Nia didn't seem to get it.
We can hang out, stay up late talking and playing games?
She rattled off happily.
I could even teach you how to fight.
Teo blinked at her. Was she serious? A terrible scene played out in his mind's eye. Nia, the Sunbearer, standing over his lifeless, sacrificial corpse. Thankfully, he didn't need to come up with a response, because Luna called them all to attention.
Congratulations, competitors, on being chosen for the Sunbearer Trials, the Osa Luna said. I think we've all had a long day, so if you'll follow me, I'll show you to your rooms for the night, she said, signing as she spoke. This way.
The Golds fell into step behind the Diosa, excitedly murmuring to one another. Shio followed them at a safe distance, and Teo and Nia lingered at the very back.
Why is she signing? Teo asked Nia.
Desi's deaf, she said with a shrug.
Desi was tall and had deep, warm black skin and a high fade with sponge curls. He was objectively beautiful, but not in a chiseled supermodel kind of way. He had soft features, kind eyes, and the sweet sort of smile that made your legs feel like jello. Desi followed Luna, watching her hands attentively as she led them down the hall.
He's like a total badass. We all knew he'd get picked, Nia went on. He's really strong, super smart, and the powers he got from his mom?
Nia let out a low whistle. What are his powers? Teo asked, but they were interrupted before Nia could answer.
You'll be staying here tonight, but tomorrow we will be boarding the boat to travel to the first host city after breakfast, Diosa Luna announced as they walked. This is the beginning of a very long journey for all of you, so I suggest getting as much sleep as you can.
Can we check out the rest of the temple? Shochi asked, a hopeful lift in her voice.
Luna smiled. No, you may not, she addressed the group. You are only allowed to see your parents at the beginning and the end of each trial, and communicating with any of your priests is considered a conflict of interest.
Cheating, Marino said, and signed to his friends.
However, there will be soul priests available 24/7 throughout the competition. If you need something, just ask them, Luna continued.
A pair of soul priests stood on either side of the next doorway, smiling as they passed through. Teo wasn't sure if they were actually there to assist or guard.
Nia gave Teo's arm a nudge and nodded toward Shio.
How's he taking it? She whispered.
The younger boy stood off to the side, nervously twisting a bracelet on his wrist. Teo winced. Better than his dad, I guess.
This door leads to the dining room and kitchen, Luna went on. Diosa Pandulce and Diosmeis kindly volunteered their services for the duration of the trials. They'll cater all your meals during our travels, and if you need something in between, you may ask them.
What happened? Nia whispered.
Teo quietly filled her in on how Malasuerte completely lost his shit.
Nia frowned.
Huh.
What?
Nia shrugged.
I'm surprised is all.
Malasuerte always seemed kind of, she tipped her head from side to side.
Aloof?
Does that mean full of himself and acts like he isn't bothered by anything?
Yes.
Then yes.
I really don't think Shio has anybody else, even outside of the trials. He seems like kind of a loner, Teo said. His chest was tight as he watched Shio looking around the room, giving Aurelio and the others a wide berth.
My little troublemaker, Malasuerte had said.
Teo turned to Nia. We should try to look out for him.
Nia's eyebrows lifted.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, he's a defenseless little 13-year-old.
And he's a jade, he added. We haven't been trained for any of this shit. It's like Sol chose us just to be an easy sacrifice.
Nia finally looked worried. I didn't think about that,
And outcasts need to stick together, right?
Teo asked, nudging her with his elbow.
Right,
Nia replied, already convinced.
Around another corner, Luna showed them to their sleeping quarters. A long hallway stretched out before them, lined with doors, each of which had a Dios's glyph on the front.
Your priests already brought up your belongings.
This is where I leave you, Luna said. I need to go reconvene with the other Dioses.
For some reason, her starry gaze lingered on Teo.
I would suggest turning in early and getting a good night's rest. Tomorrow, we will begin our journey.
Teo's room was at the very end of the hall, right across from Shio's. He thought he should say something to the younger Jade, offer him some kind of reassurance, but Shio ducked into his room without so much as pausing, the door snapping shut behind him. Inside, Teo's first thought was to wonder whether or not his contraband had made it, but that was quickly replaced with shock over how big his room was. He had his own living quarters back at Quetzal Temple, but he just had the same lumpy twin bed and cheap furniture that he'd had since he was a toddler. This place was so fancy. For such an old temple, they really hadn't skimped on interior renovations. There was a large window with expensive-looking drapes, gold furniture, and a door that he assumed led to the bathroom. When he turned to inspect the massive bed, Teo nearly jumped out of his skin to find someone waiting next to it.
Huimac! Teo gasped, clutching a hand over his chest. You scared the shit out of me!
I can't stay for long, Huimac interrupted in a hushed tone, crossing the room so quickly it made Teo stumble back.
Huimac's dark eyes locked on Teo, his posture rigid. Teo had known Huimac his entire life, and not once had he ever seen the head priest of Quetzalan break a single rule.
What are you?
Huimac gripped his shoulders and squeezed them tight.
Be quick on your feet around Xochi, and steer clear of water, or else Marino and Atsi will use it against you.
He spoke so quickly, Teo struggled to keep up.
Don't get near Desi during competition. You can outsmart Ocelo. They may have brute strength, but they lack tactical strategy. You're clever and you're fast. Use it to your advantage. And Teo?
He blinked up at Huimac, at a total loss for words. Huimac leveled him a hard stare.
Stay out of Aurelio and Aristella's way.
Teo jumped as the door behind him creaked. Nia stood there, having already changed into a loose white crop top and a pair of spandex shorts. When she saw Teo and Huimac, she froze. Huimac released Teo and stood up straight.
I have to go now, he said. I put your backpack in the armoire,
he added, giving Teo a pointed look before swiftly exiting the room. Nia looked back and forth between Teo and the empty hallway.
I thought we weren't allowed to talk to our priests, she said, face screwed up in confusion.
We're not, Teo said, rubbing his shoulder where Huimac's fingers had gripped him.
Then what was he doing here?
Giving me advice, I think, Teo murmured. It was so unlike Huimac to do anything against protocol. It was unsettling. Did he really think Teo was in that deep of trouble? He told me how to deal with the golds during the trials. Nia gasped and quickly closed the door behind her.
Huimac was cheating?
She hissed under her breath.
I'm impressed,
Nia laughed.
What did he say about me?
Nothing. Nia scoffed. Teo rolled his eyes. What's up?
Oh, Nia said, as if just remembering. I was gonna see if you wanted to raid the kitchen.
An amused grin tugged the corner of Teo's mouth. In all the chaos, at least he could rely on Nia's insatiable appetite.
I'm down,
he said, as he took off the circlet and sunburst crown, tossing them onto the bed. This time, the crown stayed put. I think we should invite Shio, too.
Oh, we're gonna have our own little misfit gang,
Nia grinned as she leaned against the closed door, crossing her arms over her chest. Teo removed his heavy feathered cape and then hesitated, He glanced around the room. Where's the armoire?
What's an armoire?
I was hoping you'd know.
Teo and Nia exchanged a look before breaking into laughter. It felt good and released some of the tension from his shoulders. If he had to face the trials, at least he had Nia to face them with. At least he wasn't alone.